The date is May 4th, 2021, and while some people today are fixating on a galaxy far, far away, you have shown the wisdom of Yoda and instead decided to visit The Other Side, the official podcast of the finest comedy club in all the land, the DC Improv. I'm your host, Chris White. This spring is all about DC Improv headlining debuts, new stars taking the stage in our main showroom for the first time. May 20th to 22nd, we get a visit from Tom Takkar. Tom has great energy and a really interesting story. He grew up in Bloomington, Indiana, and he says he's the, quote, son of a deadbeat Indian dad and a hardworking Red Lobster managing mom, end quote. He's been through the club as a feature act a bunch of times. You may have seen him on shows with Nikki Glaser. He has his own Comedy Central half-hour special, and he has hosted a couple of podcasts. Best of all, Tom zoomed in on May 3rd to be a guest on our podcast. Have a listen. Tom, how you doing?
I'm good, man. It's good to see you.
It is good to see you as well. We got to see you at least one time over the pandemic via Zoom. You did one of our
online shows. That's right. That was fun, to be honest. You know what's funny is I just remembered Allison sent out that email like about doing that again, like when things were coming back, and I meant to respond because I liked doing it. I had a great time.
I'm one of the few comics
who, like, I feel like was not mad at Zoom comedy at all. I kind of liked it.
We've talked to a lot of people. There's a range of resentment to acceptance to actual, hey, this is something I can actually have fun with. Yeah.
I loved that, like, no matter what happened, I'm still doing Zoom shows because it's great because now there's a mix of live and Zoom where I'll be on my way to a show and I'm driving and then I just pull over, do a Zoom set, and then go back to driving. And I'm, like, doubling up my time and stuff. And you can make a little extra cash. But also, what's great about Zoom shows is if you bomb, you just close your computer and you're home. It's great. You just play 2K, have a glass of wine. It's great.
I think it's very conscientious of you that you at least pull over when you drive. We've had a couple where people have actually performed while in the car. It's like, this is going to be either... if this isn't funny, it could be tragic. You know, we'll
that's
see.
True. Yeah. It's like I had a moment where I couldn't find a place to park and I was like, oh no, this might come to like me having to parallel park while being on a show. And luckily, right at the last second, I was able to find a place. But I can't. There's no way I could operate a vehicle and do what I do, Chris. I don't know if you've seen my act, but there's
full body.
A lot of juggling. And
so how's your year been, though? How's your overall pandemic been? Have you been riding the whole thing out in New York City?
I started it in L.A. because what's crazy is I was having a little break from New York because I got a writing job in L.A. on the show called The Movie Show that's on Sci-Fi that people are welcome to check out. It's very silly. But we were only supposed to be there till March, and I was like kind of twiddling my thumbs a little bit because I wasn't doing enough stand-up in L.A., and I was so excited to be done. Our writing job was supposed to end March 29th, and I had a whole like tour plan to get back to New York. I was supposed to be at the Comedy Cellar in Vegas for a week, and I was like, not only am I going to be back into stand-up, I'm doing stand-up like every night for the next month. And then the, you know, obviously like whatever it was, March 15th or 16th came around, and yeah. Once the NBA stopped, I was like, I have a feeling some of these dates might get lost. And then it was so funny how like it just got dragged out into like we just ended up staying in LA for 3 months, but I kept being like, I had Cellar Vegas like August, or no, it was April 4th through the 11th, I think. And I remember being like, well, that's like 2 weeks from now. Maybe I'll still be able to do the back half of that.
Because
at first they were like, it's only 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that really sucks for like a week and a half of my dates, but at least I'll have these. And then it's like just everything started falling off the calendar. And so we stayed in LA for another till June, and then came back to New York in June. And yeah, I mean, I honestly can't complain. Like, I, you know, I didn't get COVID, which is good. And neither did my family. So that was nice. And I was glad to be able to, I was glad to be able to do stand up at all during this. Like, they were doing outdoor shows and stuff in the parks here, and it kind of felt like you were doing something, and it was just a way to make a little bit of extra cash and also just stay sane. But yeah, the biggest thing that's been tough for me is I gained so much weight, and I just like, I got into such a habit of like, oh, I'll have a couple cocktails while I play video games every night. And then it turned into like, well, why not have food too? And then I just, it just got out of control. And no gym. I couldn't go to the gym because the, you know, that was too dangerous and they were closed. And any excuse to not go to the gym, I was like, yeah, fine. It was good. Do you remember when those people were like doing jumping jacks outside of the gym and like protest?
Yeah, they had the whole lines of people. Yeah, it was like all the guys showing
that
up.
That killed me because it's like, what a try hard. Yeah. The days that I go to the gym and they're like, actually, we're closed for holiday hours, I'm like, hell yeah. Like, I'm so happy. having the excuse made for you is so good until it gets ugly, you know.
you're in the same boat with millions of Americans right now, so don't worry about it. You just got to lose those unfortunate 5 pounds, right? That's all it is. So now that it's coming back, I mean, for people who don't know, New York was shut down very hard. Even, you know, DC had it not great, New York had it even worse, but you know, we're seeing the thaw now. Has it been weird getting back to, you said, this mix of There's live shows that you're going at. I'm following you online. You're hosting some stuff. You're doing some other things.
Yeah.
Is it weird or is it just feel like, is it like riding a bike?
It's definitely, it's a mixture of both because it is weird because you're like, you just feel weird being inside. Like, I'm fully vaccinated. I think a lot of people in New York are fully vaccinated now. And you go to comedy clubs and you're just inside with people and there's like, you know, plexiglass and stuff, but you're still seeing people's faces inside and it's weird. I keep doing a bit where it's like, it kind of makes you horny a little bit. You're like, cause it's like so naughty almost, you know, it's like back in the 20s when women couldn't show their ankles and you saw one, you were like, achy, chachy, you know.
We have a strict ankle cuffing policy at the DC Improv. The city's being they're check sending inspectors and everything. So, yeah.
But yeah, it's weird. And then the material stuff, I've been going through this thing where I've been talking about, you don't lose the ability to do stand-up comedy not doing it for months at a time, but what you lose is you forget little lines here and there. And so I did a headlining week at Comics Mohegan Sun a week or two ago, and it was so fun to like do 45 again and go like, oh yeah, this goes here, this goes here. I had that one line, and every night throughout the week I would remember another line that was like, oh, that was my favorite part of that joke. And the first week at I think it was when the Comedy Cellar was first coming back, and I remember being on stage and I was like, oh, I'm gonna go into this thing that I was closing with before the pandemic. And I got to the very last word of the joke. It was this joke I have about trampolines. And I was like, and boy, oh no. Like, I just knew it was the most important word of the joke. And I was just like, and you guys get it. Like, then they were like, no, what? All right, good night. But yeah, that stuff has all come back now, which is great. It was nice to have like a weekend again where you do, you know, four shows in a row and you're like,
yeah,
having to get it all together and recording and like polishing it up and thinking of new lines again. But it the thing that it hurt was the ability to work on new stuff, which has been, that's what I liked Zoom for. I feel like Zoom was a good way to practice new stuff because you're like, if it doesn't work, it's like, who cares? Yeah. I'm yelling into the void.
Well, all these reps, it's almost, some would say, like going to the gym somehow. It's almost like getting the reps in by going to the gym.
Yep. You got to get your reps in. It doesn't matter what they are. That's what I used to say about the gym. I'm like, I just love doing reps. And you're like, of what? Oh, it's just anything. Get me in there.
I don't know what the comedy equivalent is of skipping leg day, but, you know, no more of that. No more. Yeah.
That's a good question. What is the leg of jokes? You're like, I guess I'm not doing crowd work. That's
So we, of course, know you at the Improv. We've seen you a bunch of times coming in as a middle act, as a feature act. So this is pretty cool that it's your first time headlining the main showroom. Some people may have seen you at the Improv but not realize that they've seen you, because when we first saw you, you changed the Tom Takkar brand. You were originally
That's right. My
Tom
name
Brady.
Used to be Peyton Manning. And
spoken like a true Indian. There you go.
Yep. Yeah, my name was Tom Brady, and I, of course, had to change it for obvious reasons. I held on to it for way too long, and then Mike Birbiglia, I was opening for him in Bloomington, and he was like, dude, change your name, man. What are you doing? He was like, you haven't been on TV yet, and it's not too late yet, but it's going to be very soon. And he went on radio and like talked to people about it. It was like making fun of me. And I was like, I got to change it. And I went with Takkar because that was so, it's a story. It's a long story, but my father's last name was Takkar. Yeah. And I did not like, he left when I was a kid, so I didn't have a relationship with him, but I'm half Indian. I was like, I was like, I don't want to choose just a random name. I wanted to choose one that actually could have been my name or had some connection, because I kept making a list of names and I was like, all of these sound so stupid to me. I was like, Tom Bird, like, I don't know. Tom Birdie, is that good? And then somebody was like, go by Thomas Brady. I tried that for a minute, didn't work. People still, because it became a problem where I would go on stage and people would boo. They would boo because my name was Tom Brady. Yeah. And people would think it was like a joke I was doing. And I've had comics be like, so was that really your name? And it's like, yeah, why would I choose that? What a stupid name. You can't Google me.
In the last century of show business, though, you are probably one of the very few people to change their name to something more ethnic, if that makes sense.
I really screwed up.
I love it though. I think it's interesting because you talk a lot on stage about your kind of your relationship with your dad and all that sort of stuff. Uh-huh. And you kind of have, there's kind of some tension there, I guess. Or
well, he's dead now, so it's like one of those things where I was like, oh, some of it, yes. He doesn't get to have any pride in this. It was kind of my last fuck you to him. I'm gonna take your name, bitch.
But that's something, like I said, a lot of times you watch people do like we see in the future spot, a lot of times you're not, it's less of the like my personal story, it's more like, look at me, I got some great jokes and let's get it out there. But when you come out guns blazing, you're talking about this stuff from the word go, and it's like, oh shit, this is interesting, this is really interesting stuff. And so I thought it was kind of cool that you went that direction. So I mean, thanks, man. Several years on, do you feel like the rebrand is complete? Are there still people who come up, Tom Brady, what's up, you know?
Oh man, it'll never end. And the thing is, it still says Brady on my ID because it just feels like such a pain in the ass to change your stuff legally. So it's like, we were in the Mohegan Sun. I was like, I'm the comedian, Tom Takar. I hate doing that shit, really. Because especially when you're staying at the club, basically, you're like, I work here, technically. And they were like, well, what should say on your ID, though? Because I was like, it doesn't say that on my ID. And she looked at my ID. This lady looks at my ID and she's like waving her coworkers over like, oh, we've got Tom Brady here this week. Oh, the women are going to be disappointed. And I'm like, that sucks. Why would you say that to me? They always say that. They're like, oh, that happened. I went to Dancing with the Stars when Nikki Glaser was on it, and the seat was marked Tom Brady. And because it's a show like that.
Oh, yeah. He could plausibly be there, right? Yeah.
Yes, the girl sitting next to me was actively disappointed. She was like, oh, I just thought. And it's like, well, sorry, I exist. All right.
We love you just the way you are, Tom. Takar, but whatever it is, don't ever change. So. You do talk a lot about, I've read some other interviews as well, where you talk a lot about this process of growing up. You've always been kind of like a comedy, I guess I don't know if it's comedy nerd is the word, but you've always been into stand-up from a young age. You're still relatively young. What are you, 32, 33? What are you right
now? I'm 33. And 33. Yeah, I appreciate you say that. I don't know if comedy nerd is appropriate. I would say comedy jock.
Yeah, there you go.
Why is it got to be a nerd? I'm like an athlete about it.
You can stand in the face.
I was a huge nerd growing up about comedy. It's like I became very quickly obsessed with it. And for a while, I had a podcast on Comedy Central.
Yeah, during the pandemic.
About the pandemic.
Yeah.
That where I would get to play Comedy Central stand-up clips. And it was truly like my dream job because I grew up absorbing all that and having all this useless information about comedians in my head that nobody cares about except for when I could play their clips on that show. It was great.
I think there's a couple aspects of that I find fascinating. When you watch professional sports and you see like baseball, this happens a lot because the careers are a little bit longer, where you see guys who are like, oh yeah, this guy was the pitcher is 38 and the guy who's he's throwing to idolized him when he was a kid, right. Or you also see with, actually I hate to say it, Tom Brady a lot. They're like, oh, Tom Brady, this kid was 4 when Tom Brady was drafted and now they play on it.
Only quarterbacks get that luxury and maybe kickers. That's about it. Everybody else is getting too beat up. But yeah.
But you've had a career where this is something, these are people you admired or looked up to as a kid. You've definitely had the opportunity to meet and in some cases work with some of the people that you idolized or kind of obsessed over. What are those experiences like for you? Is it the sort of thing where it still kind of blows your mind when you meet someone, or is it something where it's kind of more commonplace and you can sort of take it as it comes? So
it always surprises me who I get nervous around, and because it's never the people you would think. I believe, like, there are pretty big names I've met that I'm just like, hey, what's going on? Like, the other night, oh my god, I didn't meet him. I was nervous about this and I didn't get to actually talk to him, so it's not the same. But for a minute, the Comedy Cellar was doing this thing that was essentially like an open mic where it was like dinner and people didn't really know there was going to be comics on it, and they were behind plexiglass and stuff. It was really cool. But there would be like four people at the club because it was in the restaurant. It wasn't like billed as Comedy Cellar comedy show. And it was all Comedy Cellar comics going up and just messing around.
I
went up, but I was waiting to go up, and Chris Rock went on for four people and like just did a set. And you're just like, it just was so surreal to watch that. And I had to go up like two after him. And that's the first time I've been nervous in a long time. But the people who I found myself initially feeling nervous around were like, Todd Barry was somebody who I like idolized so much as a kid. And like, I don't know why, his stuff just really stuck to me. And when I met him the first time, I was really awkward. Like I had a weird experience with him where I like waved at him at a hospital that I worked at, and he was like, and I was like, oh, sorry, we don't know each other. And then I panicked and asked him what he was in there for. And I was like, oh, I work here and I'm not supposed to do that. And I just ran away. I just literally like, I was like, I'm not supposed to ask you that. I'm just going to go. And then I just left. And because also so many of Todd's bits are about people saying something stupid to him. And then he just goes in, and I was so worried that I was going to go to the show that night and he was going to like have a whole thing about me. I was brand new to comedy at that point. So I know that that's not how it works, but then now I've gotten to know him way better. And it's like, it's crazy. And I had to stop telling him like, hey, when I was a kid, I was like obsessed with you. Cause I think it's one of those things where it's like the pitcher thing where it's like, yeah, I don't want to hear that shit, man. Like, I'm not that old.
I used to listen to Medium Energy, his album, all the time. Yes. Yeah, so many times.
Me too.
Over and over and over again in the car. But me, I guess too. For someone like Todd, it would be pretty, like, because he's so low-key, I don't know if he gets like, does he like me? Or is this just like, This is just how Todd Barry is? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And then who else have I had it with? Brian Regan I met, and he was like, he so immediately was disarming that he's just such a hilarious, wonderful person. But I was like, he came and watched our show when we were in Madison. He was at the theater next door, and he came over and just watched the whole show. And afterwards, he was so funny and fun to hang out with. And it's like, not to toot my own horn, but I had a hot little set. And I only say that to preface what it makes sense for what he said to me, where he comes up and he goes, hey, can I give you a note about your comedy? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I could tell he had like a little smirk on his face. And he was like, sometimes the audience likes to laugh. I was like, all right, Brian. And it was just such a funny, it's like one of my favorite things. And he, like, this guy who he knows that this means a lot to me, that he's talking to me, and he just cannot wait to fuck with me. It was very funny. But yeah, there's Tommy Jonigan was somebody who I like loved growing up, and we became friends early on in my career. So it starts to go away, but then you never know when it's going to pop up. Like, I saw Sarah Silverman at the Cellar, and I was like, oh, if I can't talk to her. Like, it's too much.
I don't want to cry. You want to go full Beatles fangirl? Is that the end?
Yep. Ray Romano was another one that I was like, it happens where they're just there and you're like, oh, okay, like I'm just in a conversation with this person now. And it's like the whole time you're like, am I gonna say something insane that's gonna like freak this person out? But
so the natural gotcha interview question would be, who's fallen below your expectations? I will not ask you to name names, but have you ever had a situation where there's someone you're like, oh, I really admire them, and you meet them and you're like, eh?
Honestly, oh yes, actually there was a big one, and I can't say who it is, but I was looking so forward to meeting this guy. And it's, you know what I'm gonna say is, if somebody presents themselves as like kind of like surly on stage, usually those people are really nice.
Yeah,
like I remember, yeah, I'll say this, I was really scared of meeting Marc Maron because was back in the podcast days.
That's what he is. Yeah.
Back when he used to really be a curmudgeon too. Yeah. Like he's like much happier now, it seems like. And he's like, I love how he is. And I love his podcast and stuff. I'm a huge fan, but he's one of those guys that I had just had him in my ears for years. And then I met him at the Comedy Attic, and he like, we went to lunch together, and he like was super fun and held court and was like wonderful. And then there was a comic who I got to open for that I was like looking forward to for months. This is when I was newer, and he just could not have been more of a diva and like not who he presented himself to be at all, where I was like, this guy's going to be the nicest guy ever. That he was like not nice to the openers. He wouldn't watch anybody's set, and like, which is fine. You don't have to watch.
Yeah.
But it is like, you know, a little weird to like spend a whole weekend with a guy and not watch 1 minute of their act. It just seems strange to me.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, even that, it wasn't like he was like a creep or anything. He was just not as nice as he presented.
We meet so many people, of course, week to week working in comedy clubs. And it's just the one thing is, to me, the thing that's funny is there's people who I just find funny, just so funny. And then when you meet them, whether you think they're funny can actually be actively affected by what you know about their personality. Most people are super cool. And there's people who are just like, they're pretty good, but it's maybe not my thing. And then you meet them and then you're nice. And you're like, I love that guy. He's the funniest person I've ever met. And then vice versa. You're like, hey, they're so funny. And then you meet him and you're like, take it or leave it.
That's so true. That's so true. And that's what I love. I love going to comedy clubs and asking, like, the wait staff at comedy clubs know everything. And they can affect a person's career in ways that they don't really realize is happening. Because if somebody's shitty to the wait staff, that gets around. And there are comics who do that stuff. And you're like, not even just like, you know, being really hostile, but just like not tipping or like doing something, just little things that you're like, what the hell? And they get to watch the comics act. And then it's fun to like be in the kitchen when a comic that they all hate is on and they're just like ripping you apart. So if you're a comic and you're an asshole to waitstaffs, just know you are getting destroyed in the back.
They're paying it forward or backward or however you want to look at it. So Tom, like many modern comedians, you are a pretty diversified guy. So you do obviously tons of stand-up. You've been a radio host, satellite radio host. And of course, you've done some comedy writing. You've done some podcasting. I also was reading this interview with you where you were talking about like, I had these big goals when I started out. And, you know, not bragging, but it's just like, I'm 30 and the goals I set, you know, early on, I seem to have checked off most of the big ones. What's next? How do you keep moving that bar?
It's interesting that you asked this because I've been going through it with this where I woke up in the middle of the night. I've been waking up in the middle of the night just panicking lately because I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I don't know. I just want to like, I try to think about next goals and it's like, it's also vague, you know, like I just finished writing a pilot with my buddy and hopefully something happens with that, but we'll see. All that stuff is such a crapshoot, but like, it would be fun to get some sort of TV show going or just in another writer's room. But stand-up wise, it's like I'm looking to do an album early next year. I'd like to do an hour special at some point, but it's like this was not a good year to create. So I don't have a brand new hour ready to go. Right. I'm like still piecing together stuff that wasn't on anything or like repolishing, just getting stuff to where it's like I have a solid touring act and I feel good there. But I think right now the goal is just hit the road and like work it out and get it like get as tight as I can and start writing new stuff because I write way better on the road. I write when I can do 45 minutes and I can like throw in a new chunk. And if it doesn't go anywhere, it's like, well, I have another 20 to go to. It's not going to be noticeable. Whereas here in New York, all the sets are like 10 to 15 minutes. So if you throw a 5 minute chunk in there that sucks, you're like, that just tanked my whole thing.
Hard to bet.
But I want to do another late night set. I'm trying to put together like one of those because it's a tricky thing to do because you have to be very tight and clean and stuff. But it's hard. Like my main goals coming into this, like I said in that interview, were to get into the Comedy Cellar, get a Comedy Central half hour, and to do Conan. And I did all those, and now I do. And then. Then it's like, there's a lot more still to go.
I theoretically, if I go to the gym enough, I will live another.
Yes, exactly. I can't just check out now. No. I also have to make a living. And
well, tell me about the podcast, Stand By Your Band specifically. The Comedy Central one you mentioned was Stand Up with Tom Tkar, and that's ended now, but you can still, if you want to go back and listen to them, they're all available online. You can still listen to the whole archive.
It was a great show. That's like it's so funny. And like, I love Comedy Central, but like, that was a thing where I was like, I cannot believe they did. And it's because they had a changeover in the network. Yeah. They like changed, cleaned house. And so that always happens. And they got rid of a bunch of great shows. But I was like, God, what a mistake. Because that show was like consistently in the top 100 comedy podcasts and stuff in the world. And like, we got so much good feedback. So I definitely recommend checking it out. It's called Stand Up with Tom Tkar. But Stand By Your Band is my podcast with my buddy Tommy McNamara, where we have comics come on to defend music that people make fun of them for liking. Like, we're doing Linkin Park today with Sashir Zameda, and I'm so excited because I do like music that I think people would maybe think is snobby at some point, but I also love stuff that people hate. Like, I I'll throw one out that just to give an example, but How You Remind Me from Nickelback is a banger. It's a good song, and people are crazy, and I think they're posturing that they hate it. And I loved Coldplay growing up, and I love like Bare Naked Ladies and stuff. So I wanted a space where you didn't just hear people making hacky jokes about those bands. I wanted a space where people are saying good things about them, but we can still kind of make fun of them at the same time. And it's really fun. We've been having a good time with it.
Do you have any musical talent? Just going back to the early child, was young Tom Tokar or Tom Brady in an orchestra or anything along those lines?
I have zero musical talent, and I'm so if I had an ounce of musical talent, I would not be doing this shit. I'd be gone. All right, I love doing karaoke. I think I'm good at doing the songs that I know how to do. I'm really good at "Jewel, You Were Meant for Me."
Sure,
but. Beyond that, I have zero musical ability, but it's all I ever wanted to do was like be a lead singer in a band, and I just am not good.
I have one party.
I don't understand the form at all.
None at all. I'm technically tone deaf. I can't read music. My fingers don't work. The one party question now is kind of like, if you could, if you had the magical party conversation time machine and you could go see any one band performing live throughout history, kind of at the height of their powers, what would Tom Tokar's jam be? Like, who would you go see?
At the height of
band
their powers.
Or solo act or whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, basically this is as good as they ever were before they fell off, you know, and you could see them.
I feel
live.
Like most people would say like the obvious stuff is like the Beatles or like Michael Jackson or something. Yeah. And I'm going to say if I'm thinking of what I would appreciate the most, because I like the Beatles and, you know, I like a lot, all the normal stuff, but it's like, if I'm thinking of my own specific taste, I mean, I would love to see Radiohead, right? Like, I mean, I know I could see them, like, probably when they, you know, do shit again. But, like, when, like, OK Computer comes out, like, if I could see that era, or, like, I really like old Radiohead. Like, I like the Radiohead that Radiohead hates. I like the Bends and Pablo Honey. So it's, like, even being able to hear that stuff would be cool. Same with, I almost want to say Modest Mouse because that was my favorite band for a long time. And I don't care to see them live right now, but I would. But it's like the songs I would have loved to see are them like at the end of the 90s.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to kick myself later for not thinking of somebody. But I like those. Yeah. If I'm being honest with myself, those are the two. Because anything else I would say, it's like I would just go see that band now. Like I would go see Wilco or like the National. Or I mean, maybe Kanye before he has lost his goddamn mind. That would have been fun. I'm bummed I didn't get to do that.
He might get it back. They're doing wonderful things with medication. You don't know. I will ask you this last question about the Stand By Your band. You guys have been doing this for a little while now, right? So this has been
It's been like 4 years now.
Yeah,
it seems crazy to say that, but yeah, I think it's been like we've done over 200 episodes. It's like almost 4 years.
So in that time, even given the premise of your podcast, has there been anyone coming out with something that is just indefensible that you just cannot even wrap your head around someone defending liking this band?
Yeah, there's been a few that I'm just like, I get nothing out of this. And for me, a lot of it is like I just got almost nothing out of Limp Bizkit. That was a contentious episode we did. It's one of our more popular episodes because it was our buddy Mike Racine came on and defended Limp Bizkit. And we do a thing at the end of the episode. We give them six songs to kind of me and Tommy loop the six songs. We listen to the playlist a bit to get in our heads and give the band a real chance, you know? Because a lot of times people are like, I hate that. And it's like they haven't even listened to the stuff that people should listen to. And that we think that six songs is plenty of a chance. Yeah. So we gave Mike six songs and we try to stay positive throughout the episode, even when we're making fun of it. And we got to the end and Tommy ranked the playlist like 1 out of 6 and Mike would not look at him the rest of the day and like he called him a bitch and stuff. It turned into such a heated thing that yeah, people sometimes get really upset when we don't like what they bring. So but it's pretty rare. I'm trying to think if anything else has been.
That's probably people who have a tattoo of the band somewhere on their body that they're not telling you about.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I want to say we did Aqua, who does the Barbie Girl song. That one didn't do it for
me. How do you even
me,
get to
but
6
Tommy
songs?
Loved it. I know. Lisa Traeger figured out a way to get to 6 songs somehow. I still don't believe her. But
yeah. Just making stuff up. Yeah. I'll ask you one more question, then I'll let you go. Before you come to the DC Improv, May 20th to the 22nd, headlining the main show for the first time. I've been asking this of everybody. It's been a weird year. A lot of people have had to, you know, it's ups and downs for a lot of folks. What is the kind of the normal thing that you've missed the most? Say, beyond, say, stand-up, beyond, say, traveling or whatever. What is just kind of a regular, everyday thing that you have missed the most in the last year that you're really looking forward to getting back to?
Oh, that's a great question. Because like I didn't really take the pandemic seriously. I did everything that I wanted to do, but no, I'm just kidding.
I'm being insane. I'm spitting in people's
mouths. I actually didn't let this affect me at all. I mean, truly going to the gym is big. Like having not had that was huge. But more fun answer, I think, is like just being able to go to a bar and not think about it and like do karaoke, like all that sort of stuff. Just seeing a band indoors, I would put in the same realm of like going to a bar, seeing live music. That's the thing that I'm just like, I can't wait to do. And sporting events too. That's been hard is like, I'm going to be able to go to baseball games. I mean, I could now, I'm fully vaxxed and stuff and they are letting people do it outside or whatever. It's capped, but not being able to like go to any kind of sporting event. I'm so used to going to stuff here and not being able to do that was crazy. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is bars. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. It's like not comedy related, just going to a bar with some friends and like just getting insane. Yeah. I miss that.
Yeah. I'm going to see the Pacers tonight. Yeah.
You are? Are you serious?
Yeah, they're in DC.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm so jealous. Look at this.
It's exciting. So what about nice.
Old school Pacers head. I also oh my God, where's my phone? The back of my phone is it's Reggie Miller.
Oh yeah.
Highlight of my pandemic is I bought this Reggie Miller shirt and
I saw
this
it.
Guy
it,
took
it, it was it was on something. It was on one of your Instagrams. If it was wasn't yes. it? Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, and Reggie Miller like commented on it, and I was like, like I couldn't believe it.
That, it's if a picture I of Reggie known... Miller, but it was at the Garden, wasn't it? Where he's holding up the
and
doing
he's
the choke.
Doing the choke to Spike Lee, and it's one of my. It's like my favorite sporting moment in history. I love it so much. When I first moved to New York, I came across Spike Lee on the street. I was like. Headed to my first temp job and I was so mad that I didn't do that to him. I wanted to be like, hey Spike, and then choke and then grab my desk or whatever.
And then his people would have roughed you up. It would have been a great story. Yeah, really,
I would have just died immediately.
It would have been worth it though, right? representing the state.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, Tom, it's great talking to you and really looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks. May 20th 22nd at the DC Improv.
Hell yeah, I'm so excited.
There you have it, Tom Takkar. You can find Tom on social media at Tom A. Takkar. Takkar is spelled T-H-A-K-K-A-R, so at Tom A. Takkar. And of course, you can find Tom on the DC Improv stage May 20th through the 22nd. That is a Thursday through a Saturday with shows at 7 o'clock and 9:30 each night. Tickets are available at dcimprov.com. And while you're on dcimprov.com, you can check out the video clip we have of Tom posted there as well. I have seen Tom perform live a bunch of times, and trust me, these are going to be some great shows. A lot of fun. Like I said, lots of new faces coming up at the club. The week before Tom, you can catch Carmen Lynch. She headlines May 13th to the 15th. She was on the podcast last week. The week after Tom, we've got Rennie headlining. It's May 26th and 27th, making his DC Improv debut. And it just keeps going. We have events on sale through the start of July. So go ahead and check them all out at dcimprov.com. And come to all of them. What do you got to lose? It's fun. The world's opening up. Get on board. And with all that said, let's take this home. Thank you once again to Tom Takkar for taking the time to chat with us. Thank you to you for taking the time to listen. And wherever you are getting your kicks these days, we hope you're also getting in some laughs. We will see you next time on the other side.